Kirsten.
You can see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Welcome. My name is Thomas Gambell. I am the host of this show and this Bible study tonight. You know, I was in the Marine Corps 12 years or so. And in the Marine Corps, we learned what's called a five-paragraph order. And it was to teach you how to conduct an operation in the military. And you learned it in when I went to officer school. And it was like you slept with it. You learned it. Because you would soon lead your troops with this order. And they always, the way to remember things is acronyms. And this one is called SMEAC. S-M-E-A-C. SMEAC. You'd almost learn that more than you would your social security number or your own name. Well, long story short. It stands for Situation, Mission, Execution, Administration, Logistics, and Command and Signal. And then you would learn under SMEAC a situation. It's about the overall situation disposition that you're explaining to troops or to whoever with. Under the situation paragraph, you would know that you talk about friendly and enemy forces. And in enemy forces, you talk about first to your troops or whoever You learn about salutes. S-A-L-U-T-E. Size, activity, location. The unit they belong to, the time when they're last seen, and the equipment, what they have. You got to know what they have. After all, you don't take a slingshot to a gunfight. And then, determining the enemy's capabilities and limitations, you long draw D, defend, reinforce, attack, withdraw, delay. And under friendlies, under a situation, you learn friendly forces. About who's friendly to you, who's around you, adjacent, higher level, adjacent units, subordinate units. And then those attachments and detachments, all in the first paragraph. This could actually be applied to a business plan, actually. It's what it is, actually. So to put to military use. So here's my point. Last night we talked about, did Jesus claim to be God? Oh yeah, pretty slam dunk when you use a Bible. We talked about that last night, about, I don't know, an hour and 15 minutes, 10 minutes or so. So we did it in reverse. We talked about friendly forces before we did the enemy forces. Tonight, we're going to talk about the enemy forces. About Satan. Victory over the enemy forces. It's our 5-paragraph order. I want to talk about friendlies first. Did that last night. So tonight we're going to talk about old Satan. And you got to know your enemy to defeat. God said in the scriptures, my people perish for lack of knowledge. He sure learns about you through the demons that are assigned to you. The angels keep them back. The Holy Spirit keeps them back. Full armor of God keeps them back. Being born again keeps them back. But sin, the sin you commit, falling away, that veil becomes thin. I'm not going to go into the physics, actually, of the demonic activity. I've talked about that with my regular listeners on a regular basis, actually, almost. About frequency, vibration, how they influence you with anger, hate, lust, all the sins. Have a frequency. It's like a radio station. Frequency. When you exhibit or have those feelings because you're free will, you come up with that frequency in your body. It's electromagnetic energy. Has a color to it. You know that? It's got a color. It's got a frequency. The frequency changes the aura color. It's physics, family. It's physics, not philosophy. If I get lustful, if I get angry, mad, hateful, gluttonous, I want to kill, I want to do whatever, steal. Where's that emotion come from? That emotion is exhibited by a color spectrum. And the color spectrum identifies the frequency of your wave vibration. I'm going to stop there a little bit. It gets a little more detailed. That's how alchemy works. That's how manipulation works. So when a demon that has that rank, the same frequency vibration of lust, he's able to come in. The door is open. The key unlocks your body. But when you have the full armor of God, God protects you. He stops that frequency vibration. It's about physics, chemistry, biology. Satan, through the knowledge of good and evil, knows how to manipulate it by using alchemy and trickery. So the Christian will put a spell upon themselves. When it means spell, that means your wave vibration changes. When you're cursed, a demon's assigned to you. Family, people aren't being told how this works. This is how it really works. You would not believe if you had those glasses where you could see what's going on around you. You know, the fantasy glasses where you put them on and all of a sudden you see the supernatural through the glasses. I think you'd have a doggone heart attack if you saw what was really going on around you. Those angels keeping the demons back. They want you so bad they can't stand it. But the angel, the God's Holy Spirit, restrains them. So now, you can imagine, when God removes on the earth the restraining spirit, well, he didn't have that restraining spirit when the flood came. And now you got it? And when the veil was thinnest, after the Old Testament, running up to the 10th century, 11th century, somewhere there, was the Dark Ages. Why do you think they called it the Dark Ages? Well, there's no God. It was godless. They called it the Dark Ages. Because the Word of God that was kept in Antioch was put and hidden in the Alps until 1604. That's when the industrial explosion started happening. When the Word of God was released, Satan knew he had a short time. He had to act fast. In come the Industrial Revolution. Yeah, how about that? I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and I will talk tonight about the enemy. How the enemy operates. Exactly. And how he is defeated. I could go over 15 minutes or so. I don't know. We'll see how it works. Or part 3 tomorrow. No, part 2 tomorrow. It'll be part 2 of the enemy. We'll see. But this needs to be covered. You know that Jesus is God. I talked about that last night. Slam dunk. He even claimed it. Tonight, we talk about the enemy and defeat of the enemy, which is Satan and the fallen angels. Not the Jews, not the Muslims, not the Hare Krishna, not lukewarm Christians or even the secret society members. They're pawns in a bigger game. But they're nothing but pawns. That's all they are. That you pray for. You pray for their redemption. You pray for the salvation. But then you move on. Because then the Holy Spirit either can move on them or not. That's God's business, not ours. Lord, we come tonight, Father, another Bible study. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for our sins. And Lord, for those sins, we repent, we bring them to the cross. And Father, lay them down before you, that Father, we ask that you remind us of those sins that we don't remember. That Father, we can clear the table. And cleanse our soul. Father, we pray for our friends, we pray for relatives, we pray for those we love. Father, we pray for those that are deceived. And Father, we pray for ourselves. Lord, we pray that we are humbled. That Father, you send those convictions down to keep us humbled. And Father, to give us the wisdom, discernment to help others. And Father, for our own confirmations with divine appointments that we help each other. Father, we thank you for Holy Word in the King James Bible. And Father, we call upon you that you'll write it upon our hearts. When those times we don't have the Bible in front of us, Lord, and the times we have to witness, you give us the words to speak. As in the days of old, of the days of the disciples, Lord, when the Holy Spirit anointed, that you give us those words to speak, Lord, when we don't have that word in front of us. We pray for the healing. Bringing families together, softening the hearts of those that are enemies, and Lord, even give us opportunities to witness to them. We pray for our veterans. We pray for those others, Father, too, that are contemplating the suicide, that, Lord, that you'll send divine appointments to those to give them the opportunity to stop the thinking. Father, we pray against these acts, these legislations of child euthanasia, of the Dying with Dignity Acts that they're coming up with, the orchestrated suicides, the drugs, the abortions. We pray against these tricks of the devil that, Father, that brings people in the path of destruction. Father, we pray for an awakening, an acknowledgement, a covering of the Holy Spirit, Lord, to give us those opportunities to evangelize, to help others. This we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, that's Matthew 6, 9. And you know what it says, 6, 9? After this manner, therefore pray ye. Because they were asking him, how should we pray? So it's not that you got to say that prayer word for word exactly. That's a catch-all. That's a prayer that covers everything. Adding to it is, it's just a sample, an example of how to pray. Because it says, pray after this manner, in that way. It's a guideline. Satan's defeat, victory over Satan. And you know one of the questions people asked, atheist, agnostic, all of them. Why would a loving God even have hell? Why would he create us just to torture us for eternity? That's what it leads them to soul sleep. That your body just goes away permanently. Your soul goes to sleep. You're in nothingness. You're like sleeping. Doesn't say anything about dreaming. I don't know. And your spirit goes to be with God. Well, your soul is your personality. Your spirit and soul together makes you. To separate the spirit from all the other spirits is your soul. So where the soul goes, the spirit goes. Where the spirit goes, the soul goes. But flesh cannot enter heaven. So it goes to the ground. Now, in the rapture, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, nobody knows. Not really. Everybody claims they know. They write books and CDs, DVDs. They do lectures on it, and not a one of them can overshadow the other. Not really. Not at all. And they're all dogmatic about, well, I know it's a post-tribulation rapture. How dare you say otherwise? They say, no, it's pre-trib. It's pre-trib because I have... And they just go on, and not one of them can prove either one. Everybody's got the same, they use the same scriptures. Oh, goodness. That's God's business. Has anybody ever thought that maybe he don't want us to know? That everybody's, even Satan, he don't know. He don't know the future. They don't have any kind of any dimension that can go in the future and look. That's nonsense. God wouldn't give them that dimension. They have to guess. They have the scriptures to go to. And they can't go outside the scripture. If they could, they wouldn't be 10 horns. They wouldn't be 10 leaders. It'd be 12 or 5. Whatever they want. But it don't work that way. God's in control. They can't go outside the prophecy that's been told you already. Joint Chief of Staff and these high-level world leaders might take a listen to understand it, but they don't. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4 is clear. Now, there's Calvinists out there in the Calvinism. Why would you worship God? I mean, why would you join any kind of ism? What's the ism got to do with anything? Even Christianity, what's that? A religion. So what? You got 37,000 different belief sects out of Christianity in itself. It's not about religion of any kind, none of them. Jesus is about redemption and salvation. He's not about religion. I love my religion, blah, 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 blah. Why? You don't, religion didn't die on the cross, Jesus did. You see. Mary didn't die on the cross. She gave birth to Jesus. Great. She's up there. But you can't pray to her because she's not divine. She didn't die on a cross. And those little beads they have that goes around the neck called rosary beads or whatever, what's that? Plastic or metal or wood or whatever? It don't mean anything. Even the cross, carrying a cross, what? The cross is a symbol of torture. If Jesus is inside of you, that's all you need. A cross, an idol, a doodad, knick-knack, paddywhack, whatever, it's not going to do anything for you. Jesus can do everything for you. Second Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God, little g, that's really important, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The God of this world has blinded people. That really kind of answers your question. Why people can't understand you and they think you're crazy. When you try to tell them about the New World Order. Chemtrails. And so forth and so on. But you see, God sets it up. Romans 1:28. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So God turns them over to reprobate mind. And why did he send the flood? Genesis 6, 5. Why did he save only 8 people? Genesis 6, 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in this earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Whoo-hoo, ouch, ouch, ouch. Boy, that hurts. That's why it happened. So now, that will put a new meaning to a quote I gave today about those that follow Satan. Vladimir Lenin said, quote, he had said, the best revolutionary is a youth devoid of morals. His word being law in communist organizations, all members work secretly to make young people of both sexes antisocial and immoral. Children to teenage are taught to rebel against the discipline of the home. Parents are represented to their children as old-fashioned. Parental authorities scoffed at. Subverters, Illuminati, argue that the parents have lied to the children since they were old enough to listen regarding Santa Claus. See, now they're going to switch it on you. That's an ace in the hole. This is how Satan operates, or allowed to operate, because he's got a short time. So the Bible tells us that before the creation of Adam and Eve, there was in God's universe a being, basically, who had rebelled against God and took a third of angels with him in supernatural, rebelled against the Creator. Bad move. That's Satan or the devil. Lucifer, when he was in heaven, the light bringer. It's not the morning star. It's nonsense. His name is Lucifer, Latin, light bringer. Satan is not just an influence for evil, as philosophy would have people believe. That was the purpose of philosophy, to trivialize the supernatural into a philosophical notions and feelings. Not real physics, not real entities that exist. I talked about demons before, how they operate. He is not a red demon with a pitchfork and in hell right now directing where people go. He's not in hell yet. He's going to be. But he's not yet. Hell is a place of torment. He's not there yet. But he's going to be. And the fallen angels will be there too. That's what hell was created for in the first place. Hell was not created for mankind. But mankind goes there because of rejection of God. Rejection of Jesus Christ. Rejection of the Holy Spirit. And all three are one and the same. I probably need to do a Bible study on the Trinity next. Satan is taught, is he in hell now? With a long tail and a pitchfork and what have you. But he's not. He's in the second heaven. Second heaven is between the first, which is earth, and the third, which is a heaven separated, second heaven and third heaven separated by water. How that works, I don't know. That's God's business. Because God divided the waters so land could exist, he created the universe. There's some serious creating going on. So that frequency of the water keeps the demons, keeps the separation of the heavens. The earth lies in the vacuum of the space, which is the second heaven. That's where Satan and the fallen angels are on these planets. And the only way they can go from planet Jupiter or planet Uranus or planet whatever, Venus or whatever, is through portals, through human sacrifice, disaster, mass murder, rituals, symbols, and so forth, through witchcraft and sorcery and alchemy. That's how they go. It says in the Bible, where are you going, Satan? It says to and fro, back and forth upon the earth. That's what that means. Through ritualistic sacrificing of human beings and animals and disasters opens up these portals for now. He's a very real being, this one named Satan. Lucifer became Satan when he fell. Who was Lucifer? Lucifer was the, shall we say, the choir director in heaven. He was powerful. He had 9 stones. I don't know how that worked, but anyway, he had 9 stones on his body. The 9 stones, think of it like this. 9 radio frequencies. Each stone has a different color. Each stone has a different radio frequency. Well, more specifically, electromagnetic frequency. Why? Well, there's 9 orders of angels, 9 stones, 9 ranks. Each rank of angel had a different frequency because they're different ranks. Think of it military. Private, that's a demon. Lance corporal, that's another level demon, higher level. Corporal. Sergeant, staff sergeant, gunnery sergeant, master sergeant, master gunnery sergeant, second lieutenant, first lieutenant. Each one has a different frequency, a different rank, a different job. You see how it works? Same kind of thing. It's a ranking structure, but it's based on quantum physics. So, the order of angels, say, order 1 of the 9, of the 9 orders, the thrones, or whatever they are, can sing praises to God in a certain frequency that's collected by this stone, like a MP3 player or something. So each one of the 9 orders, millions of angels singing their praises, all different from 9 orders of angels, collected on Lucifer with those stones, he would only one of the only ones of the high-level angels, is allowed to go in to the throne room of God. Just like the priests or the rabbis back in the days of Jesus, where only some could go in the veil, behind the veil. Same thing. Same thing. So then Satan's, whatever he would do, I don't know, would open up and praise, give praises from 9 orders of angels all at once to God through these 9 stones. So he had a high position. Guess what? When he was cast out, guess who replaces him? You do. Uh-huh. How about that? You're taking the place of Lucifer in heaven, but multiplied millions, where Lucifer is just one. But then when Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, he became Satan, evil. He retained the name Lucifer, retained the name Satan, and others, he convinced them he doesn't even exist. Lucifer appears as an angel. Satan appears as evil. He has different appearances to different groups. Now you got the basics. That is the basics. That's why God tests our free will. He wants to make sure that you'll stay straight, because the angels didn't. Adam and Eve didn't. That free will led them down the wrong path. He wants to know that you won't. He'll know. He already knows what you're going to do, though. This is what's going on today. It's not Ebola. It's not GMO products or World War III or all this stuff they're coming out with. All that's, man, it's going to come. It's going to go. Fukushima, whatever. Oh, my gosh. That's so petty stuff. See, you know, that's just the trees. You got to see the forest. There's two main passages in the Bible which tell you the original position of Satan, how he became the enemy of God. And those passages is Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. Now, from the Bible, you learn that Satan, as I said before, was originally called Lucifer. And the word angel actually means messenger. All angels were created by God. They're not begotten sons of God. They were created by God supernaturally. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That left nothing to the imagination. These angels are beautiful, powerful creatures. They're not to be worshipped, for they are only created beings. Only God, the Creator, is to be worshipped. So the Bible describes Lucifer in Ezekiel 28, verse 12. It says, Son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealeth up some full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. But now see, when Lucifer fell and became Satan, his frequencies got changed a tad bit. He lost a lot of his wisdom but retained knowledge. Lucifer was perfect in beauty. He was as beautiful as is possible for a creature to be. Since he filled with wisdom, then, he was as wise as a creature of God could be. But of all the angels in heaven, Lucifer was the wisest, most beautiful, and the most powerful. Now, exactly what that means, I'm not real sure. That's over my pay grade. I'm not exactly sure how we mean by powerful. That means how they defeat other angels, or the angels knew this and bowed down to the general. I don't know exactly. But that's what the Bible indicates. And then it becomes a question of what was his sin that was so egregious. Well, it seems that for some time after he was created, this mighty angel loved God with all his heart and obeyed him perfectly, obviously. But then a time came when Lucifer sinned against God. And the Bible says in 28 verse 15, that was perfect in thy ways from the day that was created till iniquity was found in thee, unquote. See, notice it didn't say that was perfect in thy ways from the day that was born. Now does it? No, created. Family, your Arnold Murray's Shepherd's Chapel say that we're all angels before and now we're human going through another trial process. Yeah, baloney. Completely different than the angels. Although the angels can take on physical form to perform certain missions on earth, they have to be able to operate on this dimension called earth, first heaven. When did his sin begin? Well, it began in his heart. It's where it always begins, in the heart. Ezekiel 28, 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Oh. Mm-hmm. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they may behold thee. In this world we live in, you've got beauty pageants. Why do we really have beauty pageants? What's the purpose of them, really? You ever sit back and thought about it? You have ways of making humans feel bad about themselves. When the human being says, wow, they're pretty, but I'm ugly. They're skinny, but I'm fat. I got to slap on makeup. I got to wear some shirt here that keeps my big pot belly down. I'm no good. That's what Satan wants. Because then he starts to offer something physical to make you seem like you're better, and then you get that ego going. Or you're downtrodden, not thankful, lose faith. Opens up a portal. It's a form of bondage that you are self-imposed on. Today, it's materialistic. Love is secondary. Material things are primary. Then comes love. Everything's reversed. It's backwards. It's all backwards. So then when we feel downtrodden and beaten down, rewards on a physical level seem to attract us. Guilt controls us. Family, this is about frequency, vibration, manipulation, and tricks of the devil. And it works. The purpose of the beauty pageants is to develop lust, control, and put downs all at the same time. It helps break up families. You know why? Because everybody sees what the Miss America, Miss Poland, Miss whatever looks like. No, they're trained for that. And then they look over who they're married to, and it's not like, you know, 36, 24, 36, long blonde hair, blue eyes, or black and beautiful, or whatever. You know, that's beauty. Oh, that's what I got. And then she's saying, oh, that, look at that handsome guy on TV. Woo, and look what, oh, Cletus. Oh, gosh, Cletus. I bet Cletus hadn't seen his feet in 10 years. His belly overrides it. You know, I mean, you know, that's how it breaks up families, and it does. Satan's clever. He said, well, how does he do that to everybody? Because there's demons assigned and attached. And when the veil gets thin, they come in. When the veil's not, they're out there. Can a born-again Christian be possessed? No. Can he be demonized? Yes. There's a difference. Temptation. What the Lord's Prayer is all about. deliver you from temptation. Where do you think temptation comes from? Demons outside the body that has that frequency of vibration. Possession is a whole different ballgame. Well, they're all in a collective fog of, well, here we go, electromagnetic energy, like a fog, a cloud of it. They're connected, interconnected. I mean, they've synthesized this by the ELF transmission and the wind towers and coils throughout the United States. Every tower overlaps 300 miles of ELF transmission. Makes a cloud of ELF transmission over the United States. And there's another one over the world. So there's a synthetic sphere of influence, and there's a supernatural cloud. But the Holy Spirit's got it all wrapped up and knows everything before it begins. You see, this is what people don't realize. What did he say, Satan, in Isaiah 14, 13, and 14? See, the Bible is all connected. It's all connected. And these guys lived thousands of years apart. These prophets and so forth never even saw the other writing, and yet they coordinate. How about that, huh? Isaiah 14, 12, 13, 14, in the King James Bible only. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, nothing about morning star whatsoever, son of the morning, how they are cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's above the angels of God. I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. It's talking about ascending above God. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. But then he gets the answer. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look up unto thee, and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, and did shake the kingdoms? Family, the fallen angels are nothing more than globes of light. The demons are specks of light. That's all they are. Whenever equal wave vibration, or they can come inside your body, the angels keep them back. That's what you're dealing with on a regular basis. That's why you pray on the full armor of God to protect you. What was Lucifer's sin? His sin was pride. And what they tell us to do every day in the military, what you do in your work, what you should do when you're it's regular. It's like normal. You should take pride in what you're doing. I got pride in what I'm doing. Get away from there. How dare you say that about my work? I have pride in what I do. Whew, that's been ingrained in us since the day we landed in this hot LZ, hot landing zone. The day we landed in this enemy territory called Earth. Pride. Take pride in your uniform. Take pride in your work. Take pride in this, that, and the other. I take pride in my football team and it's, you see, we're in enemy territory. Lucifer simply fell in love with himself. As he beheld himself, Lucifer decided that there was none so great as himself. Family, that's humanism for the humans. That's what humanism is. Victoria Osteen, do good for yourself. God will be happy. Say what? Remember what she said a couple weeks, 3 weeks ago? Lucifer decided that it was none so great as he, none so beautiful and none so wise as himself. Therefore, he decided that he should be God. He set his will against God's will. And you know, five times Lucifer said, I will. What's the New Age motto? Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law. It all comes together. And how dumb is it for a creature created by God to set his will against God's will? What kind of wisdom is that? But lust taketh over, pride goes before the fall. You know, the change in Lucifer's heart, there was a great change that took place when he sinned. Changed everything. Nobody mocks God. You know, before this time, Lucifer loved God and enthroned God as king in his heart. Now Lucifer loved himself and he no longer chose to have God on the throne of his heart. Instead, he put himself on the throne. God keeps us busy. He knows your weaknesses. He assigns those demons to you that he knows will have an opportunity to come inside you or demonize you more likely. You know, sin of pride, lust, are the strongest that there is. And specifically, the sin of pride began in Lucifer's heart, led to self-love. On a human level, that's humanism. His self-love led then to self-will. His self-will led to rebellion against his Creator. Following Jesus Christ begins in your heart. It leads to love of Christ, love of God. And love of God leads to doing God's will. And doing God's will leads to obedience of God's commandments for the Creator, not against. So, after Satan did this sin, well, no longer was Lucifer content. He wanted to be the highest angel under God. Now he wanted to be God himself. There's never an end to it. God saw what was in his heart, because Lucifer had free will, as the angels did too. And God saw what there, cast him down from his exalted position. Then his name was changed from Lucifer, the light bearer, to Satan. And that means adversary. So Satan began his career of opposing God. He'd been sinning ever since. When he knows he can't beat God, he's going to try to beat him in his own game. He's going to try to defeat his creation, kill off his children, and replace it with his own transhumanized creations. Crimeans. They're trying to say now that Jesus Christ is Satan. They can do that by using the corrupted Bibles, obviously, but they can't do that with the King James. And they're teaching this. This is specific in the masonry at the highest level. I just read you Isaiah 14:12. Now it's coming out publicly. I predicted, well, anyway, I've been talking about this for 5 years. And they're doing it now. I've been warning people on my broadcast fairly often. They're taking the Bibles, the corrupted Bibles by design, and showing to young initiates, especially the Freemasons, that Lucifer is the good God and Satan is Jesus. We're using corrupt Bibles. They use Isaiah 14:12 is what they target on. In Isaiah 14:12, what they do is they're trained to do this. You understand this? This is not haphazard. This is a training. They send them to training to do this. They'll initially give them a shock. You know that Satan is Jesus. They do the shock statement. They know they're going to get a shock back. So, no, I can prove it in the Bible. So they're never taught that all the other Bibles are different than the King James. You got people reading a book for 10 years, and then you start showing them where missing verses are. Oh, I didn't know that. You're like, you didn't know that. You've been reading it for how long now? 10 years? You didn't notice that the versus gone? Man, it's out of there. It's not there. I mean, if you're getting your car and you're missing a wheel, I think you're going to know that. Well, when you're reading the Bible and you see, well, there's a verse missing because Matthew 17:21 is not there. And I got like 237 of these not there. How do you miss that? Anyway, so Isaiah 14:12, in other Bibles, for the NIV, for example, how have you fallen from heaven, morning star? New Living Translation. How you fallen from heaven, shining star? English Standard Version. How you fallen from heaven, O day star? New American Standard Bible. How you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning? Morning star, star of the morning. Connects. But the King James Bible, How thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? There's no question about that. So then what they'll do is they'll show them that the morning star fell from heaven, like in the NIV. Then they'll say, well, let me show you something. They'll go to Luke 10:18. And they'll say, well, look at here. And all of them say the same thing. Isn't that ironic? NIV says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Well, there you go. NIV says morning star fell. Okay. The NIV says Satan, names him, fall like lightning from heaven. That's your Nazi double lightning bolt thing. That signifies Satan, by the way. Lightning bolts on symbols and things and all that represents Satan. Anyway, so I saw Satan fall like lightning. In the King James Bible, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. It's all the same. But then, here comes the final cap. Revelation 22:16. NIV says, so far, what do we know? Isaiah 14:12, NIV. Morning star fell. NIV, Luke 10:18. Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Now, Revelation 22:16. In the King James or NIV, doesn't matter. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. So they prove to you that Satan is Jesus in the other Bibles. But now if you take the King James, you can't do that. Satan fell like lightning, Isaiah 14:12. I'm sorry, Isaiah 14:12 in the King James, Lucifer fell. Luke 10:18, Satan fell like lightning. Lucifer is Satan. In Revelation 22:16, Jesus says, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Completely a separation. Satan and Lucifer are the same, and Jesus is a bright morning star. No big deal. You got it. But the other Bibles doesn't work that way. And that is by a design. Now they're coming out and telling you that Satan is Jesus. This is major because it's going to affect a whole lot of Christians. It's going to confuse them. Some of them hadn't put this together at all. And now what's the Pope doing? Oh, you see? He's setting it right on up with his change in the... Tony Palmer tried to bring everybody back, Episcopalian, Episcopal, back into the Roman Catholic, get everybody together. Then the Pope starts doing his changing. It's all planned out. Actually, it's pretty simple. Amazing, isn't it? That's what's happening as we speak. Satan has a kingdom. Satan was the first angel to rebel against God, but many other angels followed him in his rebellion. He fooled a lot of them. These angels are called fallen angels before the flood and a group after the flood. They have knowledge of the supernatural and alchemy and all the arts. And while those who remain true to God are called holy angels, Satan, along with the fallen angels, they set up a kingdom opposed to God and his kingdom. And ever since the time of Satan's rebellion, there's been two kingdoms in the universe, second heaven and the third heaven. And this is not about aliens or ascended masters. It's about demonic realm, fallen angels. Those are the orbs. Demons are specks of light, is all they are. The illusion is that they're big, ugly, big teeth and all this and all that. But they can change DNA. They can take physical shape, the fallen angels can, about anything they want to, including dragons, including other animals, including people. Saint Germain of the 18th century was a fallen angel. Sanon de Manuel mated with a woman they want to claim as Mary. And Sanon de Manuel, long-haired, blue eyes, is the form of the Jesus we think is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Jesus Christ of Nazareth has not long hair. This is why the Merovingian bloodline and the high-level elite think they're in the bloodline of Jesus, because of Sanon de Manuel. This is why they say in India, Jesus was here in India. That's why they say he's everywhere else in the world. But he wasn't. Sanon de Manuel was, but not Jesus of Nazareth. Did you know that within 100 miles of Jerusalem, where Jesus was the only place where the true gospel was preached until the disciples then went out into the world? But up to the time of Jesus, everything outside the 100-mile circle was all pagan. They were all pagan. In the worldwide population. So Satan had a field day. When Jesus Christ trained the disciples, 11, 12, they were to go out into the world. Before it was the tribes of 12 tribes were supposed to do that, but they failed. Now you see what God's trying to do? But free will, rebellion keeps getting in the way. But God always carries his plan out. He always knows what's going to happen. He gives us opportunity to accept or reject. But now, as I go back for an hour ago, you that are the elect are the ones that's going to replace the Jews before. Going to replace that failed then. And increase the number of disciples to the millions. And then the Jews, Hebrew Jews and Gentiles, will be grafted together, equal, to carry out God's plan in the millennium. Throughout eternity, after the 1,000-year millennium. You see what the plan is? The big plan? The real big plan? And why Satan hates you? Because you're taking his place and he's going to hell, with along with the fallen angels. Serious stuff I'm telling you tonight. This is what's really going on. Two kingdoms in the universe, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom of Satan? Second heaven and the first heaven. Well, go back to 2 Corinthians 4:4. These two kingdoms are exactly opposite in character. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of lies and wickedness, hate, while God's kingdom is a kingdom of truth and righteousness and love. More specifically, as I like to get specific, Satan has it divided up. Seven fallen angels at general ranking structure that control the education worldwide, philosophy, religion, science, the arts, politics, and finance. What this includes, of the seven areas, the seven general ranking structured fallen angels, because the whole world lies in the evil one, is that Satan's world system includes commerce worldwide, politics, religion, education, entertainment throughout the world, world kingdoms, world organizations, every single one, and many other things. And through his world system, Satan can offer people power and riches, possessions, worldly honors. That's where you get your Nobel Peace Prize, which is baloney. You get your Rhodes Scholarship, baloney. All that, you take a blood oath to follow Lucifer as a Rhodes Scholar. Do you know that? You do. It's cataloged at the Library of Library of Congress. He gives you intellectual achievement. Some become a lot of. All these little doodads and trinkets and robes and all these things are to pump you up. Social prestige, as well as all kinds of sinful pleasures. He also give people about anything they would want. Just make him satisfied, remain under his rule, and leave God out of their lives. After all, what happened to Jesus Christ in the desert? Nothing, because he cited scripture to Lucifer. But what tried to happen was that Lucifer is going to offer him power. Lucifer is going to offer him food to eat. He knew he was hungry. Several other things that Lucifer is going to offer, but Jesus would have nothing to do with it. Satan tried to play upon God's son through his fleshly desires. It didn't work. He failed. Jesus was sinless. That's why he couldn't be punished in hell. As Copeland and Jairus Myers and Hagee and Hagen and Dollar and Brazier, Jakes, all them say Jesus was punished in hell. That's impossible. Oh, yeah, I got recordings. I'm not going to play them now, but I've played them. I think most of y'all, my regular listeners, have heard this before. This is a big picture. People don't like talking about this because it's scary. But this is exactly how Satan has it operated, controlled right now, because he's God of this world. He is the ruler of the world system. 1 John 5:19. I gave you 2 Corinthians, but 1 John 5:19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the wickedness. There you go. Two different prophets, disciples. Who's the Satan's subjects? His subjects include fallen angels and all unsaved people, what's called the tares. Jonathan Click and some of these folks say that the tares are the DNA corruption of the fallen of the Nephilim, and all of us are tares supposedly because of DNA corruption. That's a lie. Unsaved people are the tares. They rejected Jesus. Saved people are those that accepted Jesus or the wheat. That's it. That's it. The angels who followed Satan in his rebellion against God are the subjects and serve him in his wicked purposes. We've talked about dozens of times. And all unsaved people are in Satan's kingdom, whether they realize it or not. He gives them all opportunity to turn away. So what's he trying to do? Satan wants to keep people from receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's the bottom line. And to keep you in fear, to have you lose faith. Even Mother Teresa lost her faith. I don't have to tell you about the Pope. That boy never had it in the first place. He's a Jesuit. He took a blood oath to lie, cheat, steal, and murder. Literally. That's the oath they take. I mean it literally. He's a Jesuit. Pepe Orsini, Grey Pope, Jesuit. Adolfo Nicholas, Black Pope, Jesuit. Francis, Jesuit. Castro was a Jesuit. Billy Graham's a Jesuit. I just keep on going. And the same, exact same thing goes for the Knights of Malta, the Knights of Columbus, Rhodes Scholars, They take a blood oath against God. Yes, they do. To accomplish his objective, Satan tries to keep people from ever hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. That goes without saying now how he's doing it. In the world today, there's almost way over 2,000 years after Christ died for our sins, there's still millions of people who've never once heard of the name of Jesus, but Jesus will come not in four blood moons, not in some kind of apocalyptic sign in the sky, or not some feast, except the Feast of Tabernacles, that during 1,000 years, he'll already be here. That is the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the only one left. He will come when he's preached the gospel in the four corners of the, when he has had the gospel preached in the four corners of the earth. Everyone's had the opportunity. Then he'll come. Then the man of sin will be revealed. Not sooner, and no other indication. And then the end shall come. Those cannot be saved without hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And Acts 4:12 kind of goes right in line, wasn't planned on this way, but goes in line with last night. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whom you must be saved. So let's go up to 4:10. That's better. Acts 4:10. Let's make it clear. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which set not of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then I read that, I go back and look, it don't say Yeshua, it don't say Yahweh, it don't say Jeshua, Yahuwah, or none of that nonsense. It says Jesus Christ. Now, when he comes back, though, for the 1,000-year millennium reign, everyone will be speaking Hebrew. One language. Just like they did in the days of Noah and after. Until they started going against God, he changed the languages. When Jesus Christ comes back, we'll be all one language, one word, and one mind. And it'll be in free will, too. You know, if Satan has his way, the people that's not heard will never hear the name of Jesus. The Savior died for your sins and their sins. When he cannot keep people from hearing the gospel, Satan uses different approaches. He tries to blind their minds so that they will not believe it. That's where we got 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. But if you pray for wisdom and discernment, God will give it to you. But if you go against God continually, and this is God's business, not mine, I have no idea, but God knows, he'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. See how that works? Because they don't have the love of truth. Okay, you don't? Now we'll close your mind down. That's God. Now I'm going to keep on going here. It's 9:08, but I'm going to keep on going. I think I need to do that. So if you have to go, you have to go. It'll be recorded. You can come back to it or stay with me. But I have to keep going here. This is important. So how does Satan deceive people? But he's a great deceiver. No need to be born again. God is love. There's no hell. Sound familiar? That's where all your isms come from. Universalism, Unitarian, and there's 37,000 others. Satan is a great deceiver. He deceives people into believing that the Bible is not really the Word of God. He doesn't mind if people think of him as an imaginary character. He prefers it that way sometimes, except for those that worship him. He laughs at the idea of his being a real person. They do. A real person? No. Ah, you're crazy. He's just a representation of evil in men's hearts. See how easy that is to say? But it's not true. He is real. But he's in real trouble, too. He doesn't mind because it suits his purposes very well. Some people are naturally very religious. How does Satan deceive these people of who's very religious? Well, through false religions. And for those to act like Christian, to pervert Christianity with false Bibles, false doctrine, to tickle the ears. Satan deceives millions of people into putting their trust in their own good works. That's where the Masons are prided in doing good work. They think it's going to get them out of hell, but it's not. Or doing work in their church, the membership, or some other church ordinance or ceremony, instead of putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and died for their sins. Jehovah's Witnesses are really bad for this. They will look up your name if you have an obituary or something, and they'll find that someone's died, and they'll go through the obituaries. They'll find out where you live. Then they'll send you letters or come visit you because they know you're in need of support. They'll come to your house. And there's other ways. It's like selling a full of brush. They try to sell their heresy. That's religion. In the Baptist churches or Presbyterian churches, people just go there and sit. They listen to the preacher give a nice, warm, fudgy type of feeling. He gets real fudgy, you know, like sweet. A real sweet class. A real sweet, fudgy kind of feeling. Oh, that was so good. But nobody is being convicted of their sins that they committed. Or conviction of once and for all giving their life to Jesus. They just are comfortable because they've heard a good touchy-feely sermon. But has anybody really given their life to Jesus because of conviction? No. They feel because the lesson was all warm and touchy-feely that it's got to be good. Then they give money in the pot. Make sure everybody sees me. Hey, there's money going in the pot. Yeah, you feel guilt when you don't put money in there. You know, you're tithing. It's when you're on the street or you're tithing. It's when you're out. It's not church. It's when somebody comes up to you, man, I'm hungry. I need some money. Or I need some gas. Now, what they do with the money is whatever. But you're being tested. You go to church every Sunday and Wednesdays and you do all, you put money in the pot and you take it down for your taxes and all that stuff. But somebody comes up to you that needs food, that you know they're homeless. Get away from me, man. Go. Shoo. Go away from me. Man, God knows that. He sees it. You don't know, seriously, whether or not that's an angel just come up to you. Angels unawares. You see? What they do with the money, whatever, that's their judgment. It's what you do in your heart that matters. Tithing is when you help someone outside. It's not the church. I don't trust what the church does with the money anyway. World Council of Churches gets the most of it. Look at Copeland and all the rest of them got $1 million. He brags he's a billionaire. Goodness. And even some of the churches have ATMs. Oh boy. Anyway, God knows your heart. He will test you, let me tell you what. He will test you. So don't fall for the fudge. The fudge is sweet, but are you being convicted? And are you putting your sins upon the cross for Him to forgive them? Then comes the good feeling, and it's not fudge, it's solid. What's going to happen to Satan Well, Satan is powerful. He's cunning. He's the enemy. He has many followers in the millions. Other fallen angels, demons, and secret societies, witchcraft, etc. At times, he even appears to have great success in his battle against the people of God. So you've got to ask, why doesn't God destroy Satan since he has the power to do so? Does that not beg the question? So the answer to that is that it is not God's will to do so at this time. It's in God's time. But one day, God will deal with Satan. One day, they will not be able to advance scientifically. You know what they say today? That drinking milk will not keep you from having broken bones. They keep telling us that milk makes your bones strong and all that. Well, now they come out with a study that says it's not true. They can't make up their mind. That's completely opposite. Man, they don't know. Science is one of the Ashram rays, how they control man through science, knowledge, and use it for pride. I have my doctor's degree in alchemy. Have my doctor's degree in whatever it is, whatever. So who are you to tell me that? Because I have my doctor's degree. Okay. See, Satan's destiny has already been determined. It's a done deal. Satan will be cast in the lake of fire then, where he'll be punished forever. He's not going to do the assigning of people to hell. Their choices do that. Satan's got his own place there. Revelation 20, verse 10. Says this. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The beast is the Antichrist and his system. In this case, the Antichrist. They should answer that question. The Antichrist was a physical embodiment that was made immortal. They want immortal, they got it. Yeah, they got immortality, all right, in the fires of hell. Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's clear as a bell. Hadn't happened yet. Likewise, those who choose to believe Satan's lies, remain in his kingdom of darkness, will also be cast in the lake of fire. And you know, the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, there is the answer. And you know that Freemasons at 33rd degree and Shriners are sorcerers and idolaters. So not only those who are very wicked will be lost, but the fearful and unbelieving will also be lost. Now you've seen that Satan is a great deceiver, and you've seen the awful waiting doom that's awaiting those who's deceived by him, but how can one keep from being deceived by Satan? Well, you can keep from being deceived by knowing the truth of God's word in John 8:32. Says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You can't put your trust in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ. No religion, no preacher, pastor, pope, or priest, or rabbi, cardinal, bishop, master, or whatever, other than Jesus. Jesus is the only one. No four walls. No church, No country, no flag, no patriotism, none of that. But Jesus only. His blood, which was shed for our sins. And in Galatians 1 verse 8. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So as soon as anyone preaches a gospel other than the King James Bible, a demon is assigned to them and curses them until they remove that demon by deliverance. That's pretty specific. Satan's a real being, a powerful and terrible enemy of God and man. And to keep him from being deceived, to keep from being deceived by him, you got to know the truth of God's word. You see. Now tomorrow night, we're going to continue on about Satan's defeat. That works. Never planned it this way, but I guess it's going to work that way. And victory over Satan. We'll talk about that tomorrow night. That, doggone, that pretty much works, don't it? Yeah, it does. And then, I'm going to finish up here, before I go, as to why would God create a hell and torment people forever? Why would he do that? Or even any being, for that matter? Well, something like this. God's love. You're like, what? God is love. That's why there's a hell. Now, should I stop now and say, well, I'll continue on tomorrow? Or if I did that, would some of you try to find me and tar and feather me? Okay, I'll finish it. I don't want to be tarred and feathered. Because I'm tarred already. All you have to do is feather me. Love hates evil. And because God is righteous, just, he also has hell and a punishment. In Daniel 12, verse 2, it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, that's the bodies, some to everlasting life, that's the rapture, to heaven, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's hell. You see, you ask yourself then, does hell serve a purpose? If you take hell from the Bible, a punishing eternal hell from the Bible, and you know what? At the same time, you remove any notion of a just God and a trustworthy scripture. You know, if there's no hell, punishment eternal, God is not just. All these children and innocents that's been killed in these wars and sacrificial rituals and mass murderers and those today will go away scot-free. Annihilation will just end their life, but so what? That's how they see it. If there's no punishment of sin eternally, then that means that heaven is apathetic toward the rapist and the pillagers and the mass murderers of society and those that murder children in the tens of thousands in sacrificial rituals. If there is no hell, that means that God will be blind toward the victims and has actually turned his back on those who pray for relief. If there is no wrath toward evil, then God's not love. For love hates that which is evil. Not the individual, but the sin itself. To say there's no hell is also to say God's a liar, his scripture untrue. And you know, the Bible repeatedly and stoutly affirms this dualistic outcome of history. Some will be saved, some will be lost when Christ comes. Yes, there is a hell. And your choice decides whether you end up there or not. Or family members, or whoever. Because God will put people in front of you when He trusts you. He will put people in front of you and opportunities for you to witness about Jesus Christ. When you give $20 to somebody and say, here, look, I'm going to give you money. I'm giving you this money. I'm the one doing it now. Oh, sir, I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah, give me more, give me more. No, it don't work that way. When you give money to somebody or you help somebody, you tell them, this is not me. This is Jesus. Don't thank me, whatever. No, thank Jesus. You know Jesus because Jesus has given you the opportunity. To witness somebody that needs, but that God knows is going to change their heart. And you are the one that's reaching out to them. That's why you have those like Steven Anderson and the others who say that all homosexuals should be killed. And you have those like Terry Jones, false preachers that say burning the Quran and all that. Because they know, and they're trained. They know that that attack will cause that group to pull back and dig into their own belief and not come over to God. This is done on purpose. They're trained to keep people away from God and to keep people from being redeemed. That's why they are evil. Because they keep people from being receiving or from receiving Jesus by attacking what they, instead of heaven with love and witnessing, they attack them. That's by design. People don't realize that. Some people call this Terry Jones patriotic because he burned Quran. No, he was told to do that so that Muslims would dig in. This one Steven Anderson, for example, and Carl Gallup, false prophets. Homosexuals should be killed. What? So what are the homosexuals going to do? Oh, you religious people are crazy. It's going to cause them to dig in. That's why they do that. But this goes for adultery and everything else, that if you continue homosexual acts, it's against God, you're on your way to hell. But if you take Jesus as Savior, He'll forgive you because He loves you. Stop the sin. Come to Jesus. He's waiting for you. Now, when you've said that, in that manner, the Holy Spirit's going to work on them. But if you go out like Westboro Baptist Church and start doing what they do, which they're doing it by design, it causes a division, which is what they want. Because they're part of Illuminati and Freemasonry. I've traced a connection between Christian identity and Westboro Baptist Church. Phelps, James Dobson, all those guys. Prince, they're all connected. Westboro Baptist Church, Arnold Murray, Christian identity, they're all connected. Council of National Policy, under the Council of Foreign Relations. Yeah, buddy, they are. Same names keep popping up. That's how Satan operates. It's called a fifth column strategy. Come in the inside. Family, we got to go. Now you see why I had to continue this. I didn't want to part two. But part two tomorrow will be victory over Satan. And now we're going to talk about more solutions tomorrow night. Lord, we thank you tonight for your word. Because your word is truth. And Lord, help us to hide your word in our hearts so that I will never be deceived by Satan. Father, lead us in the next prayers, the next Bible studies, and Lord, in the right path. Give us those opportunities to witness, opportunities with each other to confirm and affirm our faith. And Father, Holy Spirit, light us, guide us, in our studies. And prepare us for that time to come. These things I pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Family, there you go. Whew. I want to remind you. Went over a little bit. Yeah, we did. I just feel I had to finish that one. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K. ALER, at highpointradio.net. Plays our broadcasts and Bible studies on a random basis. And he's up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. And he has sponsors, so that's between you and him and them. And if you live up there in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey, to check out his website to find out his sponsors and give him a name there that you came there because of him, if that's the case. So you'll find his sponsors on highpointradio.net. And no, family, I get zero nada for none of this. I just get the favor of him playing our broadcast. That's it. That's all. So I'm not doing any pitches other than just for him to be able to get help from his sponsors. That's it. I'm not in the commercial value of this. That's not my thing. So I'll let y'all know that. Y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. I appreciate y'all coming by. And tomorrow, 4 o'clock. And also reminds you, I have a Watchman for Jesus Facebook, watchmanforjesus.com website. And that's where I have my archives. And so tomorrow we'll continue on with how they use the racial differences to foment our chaos and cause us to fight each other. If people only realize this and just refuse to do it, well, but they're all being used because of lust, pride, unforgiveness that's being created by Satan, and now you know why. This is what's really going on. Family, get ready. But know one thing for sure. He's alive, and he's coming back. So y'all have a good night, and God bless y'all. We'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Good night. God bless. This is your Watchman. I'm signing off.
I am with you every day to the end.